Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
Right, today... We're going to continue the series on the things we wish Jesus never said. And today we have a lovely topic, which is really difficult to talk about, but it's the cost of discipleship. And the verse is says, hate your mother and father. So, yeah, it's not an easy verse, and it's probably something we don't understand, but hopefully I can bring some clarity to it today. So let's read the verse. It's Luke 14, 25 to 27. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Gosh, it's a bit harsh, you know? Like, did Jesus really just tell us to hate our entire family? I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. I'm not sure I really want to like that. That makes me feel very uncomfortable. I love my family dearly. But no, absolutely not. He is not telling us to literally hate our family. In fact, if you look in the rest of the Bible, he quite clearly says in many other parts of the gospel the exact opposite. And there's many parts in the Bible that says love your parents, honour your parents. And in John's gospel, he shows he clearly loved his own mother very much. And so let's take a look at that. In John 19, 26, 27, Jesus was on the cross and he saw his mother, heartbroken, standing there. And he turned and he said to the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And he turned to the disciple and he said, here is your mother. He effectively gave his mother to his best friend and said, please look after her. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home as his own mother. And so from this passage, we can clearly see that Jesus loved his own mother dearly. And so it doesn't make any sense that he's actually telling us to hate our mothers when he loved his own mother. So what is he saying? Because he said it. Well, he's talking in a kind of language, and it's called, and I've been worried about saying this all week, it's called an ancient hyperbole. I looked it up to see how it's spelt very funny, and I looked it up to see how to spell it. But it's basically a type of saying. So if I said to you, I slept like a log last night, well, you wouldn't actually think that I turned into a log and slept like a log. I'm not actually sure that logs sleep, really. I mean, maybe they do. But what you would understand from me saying that is that I slept really heavy, really deep, and really well. So it's not a literal. If I say I'm sleeping like a log, it's not literal. It's so that you get an understanding of what I mean from it. Or if I said, my heels are killing me. They are killing me. They always kill me. You wouldn't think that my heels got off my feet, started whacking me over the head with a heel, and that you need to call an ambulance because I'm dying. You know, that's not really what I mean, is it? What I mean is my shoes are hurting, and I'd really love to take them off and lie down on the sofa because they're just too sore. And so that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. He's saying these things so that we understand the depth of what it is to follow him, the cost of what it is to follow him. He's using language that will hopefully get us to understand his meaning in a better and deeper way. Then let's go for a walk. And I don't know what time we'll be back. He's using language so that the cost of following him is excruciatingly clear. So there is no mistake at how much it's going to cost and what it's going to take. He goes on, if you continue to read those passages, he goes on with a couple of stories around giving up on following him and how it's not going to look good if you do. And I want to look at one of them. In Luke 14, verse 28, he says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down, estimate the cost of building that tower, and see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are unable to complete it, everyone who sees you will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.'" And so you see, he's saying here that it's better not to start unless you've weighed up the cost. And so my question to you this morning is very simple. Have you weighed up the cost of following Jesus? And are you ready to give up everything to follow him? Are you ready to give up your life? Because that's what it's going to cost you. He doesn't want you to. It's really hard to explain. But it's not that he's saying that every single one of us is going to have to die for him. But what he's saying is we have to let go of our life. We have to let go of the control of it. We have to give that over to him. He wants us to let go of everything that we hold dear and put him first, number one, in our lives. He wants you to hand everything else over to him. Because most things in our lives we can't control. And actually the only answer is to give it to him and let him sort it out, you know, the messes that we have. Let him take care of it. He's telling you in this passage that you can't follow him half-heartedly. You can't say to him, "Well, I'll let you have this bit of it, but this bit is like so precious to me that I can't let go." You can't do half a job because you'll end up with half a building, or you won't be able to complete it, and you'll end up giving up because it's too hard. You're better to weigh up the cost before you start and not start at all than go half-heartedly into following him, giving up when the going gets tough. And let's be honest, the going gets tough. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to step into the unknown? Are you ready to trust him for everything, absolutely everything in your life? As I say that, I'm reminded this week, someone said to me, they lost their keys. And they said, but we can't pray for that. I said, yes, we can pray for that. I pray for everything. When I can't find a parking space, I'm like, Lord, find me a parking space. And 9 out of 10 times, he'll find me a parking space. We can give him everything. Are you ready to put Jesus first in your life? Last week we heard from Claire, and I watched online, and it was so beautiful how she managed to put Jesus first through some of the hardest things in life to deal with. Are you ready to follow him with that kind of determination? Are you prepared to do whatever he asks you, no matter the cost? If it comes to life and death, which thankfully for us it doesn't often, are you ready to die for him? Let me tell you a story. In a church in Romania, when occupied by Russia. They were singing a song to Jesus when Russian soldiers entered the church with guns in their hands. The meeting immediately interrupted by the soldiers of the Soviet army. They invaded the place of the meeting with full brutality. No one knew how they'd found that church. The members had been there a long time. "What are you doing here?" shouted the soldiers. "Are you worshipping your imaginary God?" The members of the church became scared and feared that there were probably more soldiers with weapons waiting outside to take them to prison. But what was about to happen was much worse than simply being put in jail. All of a sudden, the soldier in charge shouted, "All those who are faithful to God, stand on the right side of the church, because you will be executed because of your faith. You are the ones who decide if you're going to live or die. The ones faithful to this so-called God will die. But those who deny him will be free." 5 minutes before this event, all the church members were singing songs of worship to God in the same way, but now it was a matter of life and death. As you can imagine, many stood up and went to the left. I'm not sure that I would be able to go to the right, if I'm being completely honest. A few courageously stood on the right, and very quickly, saying their last prayers, families that wanted to stay together became divided, because some were on one side while the others were on the other. And one of the soldiers said, "All those on the left, leave." And they left the place without being able to look at the face of their brothers and their relatives that would soon be killed, and they were covered in shame. When only the people on the right remained, the soldiers placed guns on seats and said, "We are also Christians, but we wanted to worship without hypocrites." Now let's proceed with the meeting. When I read this story, Adam sent it to me, it ripped me up, because A, could I choose the right side in the first place? And B, it just shows how you do not know what God is doing in any second. You know, we absolutely have to trust him. We have to place our trust in him. We have to choose that right side. But, you know, honestly, I'm not sure I could. But it is such a challenge. And the ending is so surprising. But our God is good. And sometimes he asks us to do things that we don't really understand. But all we can know is that he loves us deeply. That's our only assurance, is that he loves us more deeply than any earthly father could. He loves us so deeply, he sent his son to die on the cross for us, for you, for each of you, that we might live, that we might live life abundantly. But in order to gain this new life, we have to be prepared to give everything over to him, just like he did. We have to let go of all our thoughts, all our self-cares, all our hopes and dreams. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have hopes and dreams, we should. But the playing out of those hopes and dreams should be given over to God. He gives us dreams, he gives us desires, he gives us things that we want to do, but it's not for us to make them happen. You know, we can put things in place, but in the end, we have to trust that if that's of God, it will happen. We have to allow him to look after it. I have often wondered, why does God always seem to step in at the very last minute? When you're desperate, when you're like, "God, where are you? Why won't you fix this problem? I can't do it anymore." And suddenly, he steps in. Isn't it funny that he steps in that moment when you're like, I can't anymore. I have nothing left. And that's when he steps in. And I sometimes wonder if that's because it's in that moment that we let go, that we give it over to God. And I don't know whether that's true, but in my life it seems to be true, that it's in that moment that I release it, that I stop trying to make it happen, that I stop trying to fix everything, that I stop trying to make miracles appear from nowhere. It's in that moment when I'm like, God, I can't do this anymore. This is like, you have to do something. Then he's like, okay, I'll do something. And he does it. And you're like, why could you not have done it 6 months ago? Well, because I didn't let it go, you know? I kept trying to do it in my own strength. Our job in the essence is just to follow him. Wherever he leads, whatever the consequences, in complete trust that he can handle everything. We have to be prepared to make the choice to choose him when things get dark and difficult and we're struggling to find the light. We have to be sure we're going to continue to trust him when we can't see the road ahead. Often we cannot see the road ahead. We can only see a little bit. And we just have to keep on that road, trusting that he is leading us and he will keep us safe because he loves us. And when nothing makes sense and when everyone else around us thinks we've gone a little bit crazy, I'm sure my family think I'm slightly mad, you know, we have to be prepared to say, yes, yes, God, I will. Yes, I believe, no matter what. The best thing about this is when you do that, you will be surprised at where he leads you, at where he shows you and what he does. A few years ago, I made an absolutely crazy statement to God. I said, God, if you put something in front of me and when I check it, the only thing that's stopping me doing it is fear, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to face that fear head on and I'm going to do it. And you know what? It has been mad, but it has been the best thing I ever did. And it's terrifying because you never know what God's going to put in front of you next. You never know what's going to come up and you're going to go, oh, what is stopping me from doing that? Oh no, it's fear. That means I've got to do it because I said I would. But it's been the best thing ever. My life, God has shown me things and I've done things I never would have imagined ever before. And, you know, there's been scary moments, but, you know, God is just amazing. And there's plenty of times that we just don't get it, that we want to give up. We want to just go, oh, I can't do this anymore. But I hope and pray that I never do. I hope, as I say, some of the things that God asks us to do, I'm not sure I could stand on them, right? But I hope and I pray that I could, because I know that life with God is better than anything else out there. The reward is beyond imaginable. And I also know that following Jesus, that I may have lost things, but what I've gained, what you gain is peace and insight and wisdom and delight in the world in a new way. God shows you things you never would have seen before. He opens your eyes. The knowledge of a Father who loves you, who is always with you. The peace you have even in the most difficult situations when life is mad. The answers to prayer, the faith, the belief, the love, you know when you wholeheartedly give yourself to him and follow where he leads, is worth the cost, in my opinion. He teaches you what really matters. He shows you things you never would have seen before. Your life with Jesus is richer than your wildest dreams. are more exciting than any adventure without him. It's definitely more exciting than Legoland, although my children would disagree with me. And so, no, Jesus is not saying hate your natural family, but he's saying being my disciple is wonderful, amazing, and slightly wild, but it's going to cost you. Are you ready and prepared for that cost? Are you willing to let go, to give everything over to him and follow him into the unknown? Are you prepared to stand up and be counted when it matters? Are you willing to walk with him with determination, no matter the cost? Are you willing to step over the threshold, to stop looking in the window and come into his house? And so this morning, I would like us to seriously consider these questions for ourselves. Just to take a few moments to think about what is it that you're hanging on to so tightly that it's stopping God from stepping in? What is it that you can't quite let go of because you're scared of what's going to happen when you do? What is it that's holding you back from taking the next step in the road ahead? But I would like us to spend a few minutes as the band start to worship. Let's just each individually spend a few minutes just mulling over those questions. What is it that we don't want to let go of? That God's saying, please let me take it off you. Please let me step in. Let's just spend a few minutes with our Father just being real with him. Be honest. He can take it. He's a big God. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him what he wants. And if you're scared, tell him. If you don't feel ready, tell him. See, he wants to talk to you. He wants to hear your fears, your dreams. He wants to hear it all. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to help. He wants to help you. He wants to show you things. He wants to carry all your burdens, the ones that are weighing you down. He wants to take that off you so that you can be free and stand tall. So let's make ourselves right with him, and then let's worship him with all our hearts, because he is a good God and a loving Father.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.